from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning, happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to 11:33.
Because we're going to have a little more conversation about something that you've been getting a lot of feedback on.
I've been getting a lot of feedback on it. I mean, a lot. I mean, folks are basically saying, the AP came out and said that you should no longer use the word mistress. And I have some people on both sides of it, Ursula. I have one side of folks that are like, yeah, you know what? I agree. We should not use that word. And then I got some others that are saying, yes, we should continue using that word.
I have a response that I just saw a second ago. It comes from actually one of your friends, and I want to repeat it, and I think it's the best answer of the day. So we'll share that coming up at 11:33.
All right, let's get to it. Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami. One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves, just really go at it.
Okay, so I want to return to our top story of the day, and that would be unemployment fraud in Washington State that could actually top $1 billion. We all know what happened to Susie Levine. She's now with the Biden administration, and we've been asking for accountability. So let's explore that. Who should take the fall? In a military command structure, the commanding officer is ultimately responsible for the behavior and actions of their subordinates. And we don't often see this in law enforcement, but the police chief in Brooklyn Center, where Dante Wright was just shot, actually took that step and resigned from his position. So my question for you, G, I'm going to start with you. What about Governor Inslee and bosses everywhere? Should every boss be ultimately accountable for the actions of their employees?
No. I say a no, and of course I have a yeah but in there, though. I say no, ultimately. As long as there is no connection to that boss, to that employee's behavior. Like, if that boss had been allowing and justifying, there's some actions of that employee prior to the last event that got that employee fired, then yes. So in the case of, for an example, in the case of Governor Jay Inslee and what's going on with ESD, nobody's been held accountable for that. Nobody. So ultimately, this falls on Governor Jay Inslee. So there's that. Ursula, did I answer that?
Well, okay. I think you answered it kind of two ways. So,
I know.
Well,
I know.
So which is usually
you
my...
You gave us that what a butt-ism.
Yeah. But I know what you're trying to say. So this is where I think Governor Inslee failed miserably. First of all, he never even said, yes, there is this problem, and yes, Susie Levine is responsible. No, and in fact, let's start even before that. The fact that Susie Levine was in that position, and now we know that she was a big donor to his campaign, she wasn't someone who was necessarily equipped to handle this department, and she got in, which happens too often, because of like a political favor. So that's number one. Number two, when the problem was recognized, no one took accountability, and even to this day, it feels like there is not enough transparency. So ultimately, yes, I think it is. Governor Inslee is the CEO. I agree with the person that was interviewed by Cairo 7 TV, who said Governor Inslee is the CEO, and ultimately the buck stops with him. So he needs to now, I'm not saying he needs to step down, but he needs to acknowledge that this was a big failure. And that it is his number one priority, or one of his priorities, is to get this fixed so it doesn't happen at ESD or any place else, and go from there. Because right now, the woman who has taken over that position for Susie Levine, it's not her problem. She's got the mess to fix.
Well, let me suss that out a little bit, Ursula, because I totally understand, right? Like, if I am a supervisor at work and one of my employees is caught stealing, right? I had no purview over their stealing. I did not tell them to steal, so maybe I should fire them, right? That's on them. It's not on me. However, if I do not fire them for stealing, and in fact let them stay in their position, am I not liable for those actions and
absolutely.
Any future mistakes
absolutely.
That they
absolutely.
Make?
So the first thing that needed to happen was you fire the person who's caught stealing, and you know, because that is one, that is a fireable offense. Absolutely. Now, in this case, Susie Levine was not the one who was stealing, but the stealing happened under her nose.
Correct.
Yes.
Right. I mean, it'd be like if I ran like a, I don't want to use daycare center, but let's just say I ran something like that, and then the kids are going to go on a field trip, and I hired a driver to take the kids on a field trip, and then something happened. But in that driver, I never vetted that driver's driving history. The driver had a suspended license and all that stuff. Ultimately, that's on me. So, yeah, it's so complex because you just have to – there's going to be reasons as to why the person at the top can be fired, and there's reason why they can't. Sometimes it's not their fault. Sometimes they had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Well, let's look at the case in the Minneapolis suburb where the police chief and the officer who fired that deadly shot both resigned.
And I told you yesterday, I said, well, why did the police chief resign? And I said, oh, I wonder if the police chief resigned for coming out and making that statement by saying that the officer told me, which is what the officer said, that
it was an accident, it was a mistake.
But other than that, I even told you, Ursula, off the record, yeah. I said, I don't think that the police chief should have resigned.
Yeah, I think it was taking the fall for something that happened that wasn't,
sure.
you know, his doing, but understanding that the consequences of not stepping down at this juncture would be that the police department would continue to be attacked, et cetera, et cetera. But in the case of ESD, no one has been held accountable. The only ones who've been held accountable are the people who aren't getting their checks. Sorry.
Yeah, very true. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yep, indeed. All right, let's move on to Snohomish County and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Because of that pause on administering doses, up in SNOCO, they say it's going to take approximately 3 months for everyone to get vaccinated. President Biden said that the pause on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is the right thing to do because it shows that government puts safety first. So, Ursula, do you agree with President Biden that we're putting safety first, or are we being way too cautious to the detriment of getting everyone back to their lives and saving actual lives?
No, we are not being too cautious. I think it is the right thing to do, even though it is an extremely low number that we know about. But in this particular case with the blood clotting situation, it is not the same as the kind of blood clot you would get potentially by taking birth control, which has been bandied about as a potential reason, like, why are we overreacting? It is a very different kind of blood clot that could prove deadly. And in fact, it has. And I think that if they weren't to pause it, it doesn't mean Johnson & Johnson's vaccine, I'm sure, is going to continue to be used. So. But there would be critics who would say, look, they've continued, even knowing that there were some, a death involved and some serious adverse effects, that they continued giving this. And that's because, you know, the government doesn't care about this. This is a grand conspiracy, et cetera, et cetera. And then you would have even more people who will eventually be reluctant to get the vaccine. I say go for the transparency, look into it, get the reassurance that you need. And by the way, this whole thing with Snohomish County saying that it's going to now take 3 months, I think it was always going to take about 3 months. The J&J shot is only 6% of the statewide supply. So supposedly it's not going to be a huge difference. And so I think it's just the sheer number of, and by the way, I think Johnson & Johnson could not be used on the young people. Right. I think it's the Pfizer one that's the only one that can be used for 16 and 17 year olds. So in essence, I think we're doing the right thing by slowing it down, taking a look at it and making sure that there isn't something that could be preventable before continuing with that single dose shot.
I disagree with you, Ursula. I disagree. And let me go into a few reasons as to why I disagree with you. First of all, I am glad that they are being transparent about what's going on and letting us know that
part we agree.
We agree on that part of it. So, but then even using what you just said. You says, hey, we're going to continue. This is what you said. We're going to continue to use the Johnson & Johnson. That's what you told me. That's what you told us.
Yeah, after
so
the pause.
So then why are we pausing then?
To make sure. I don't know for a fact. I'm guessing, okay, that we're going to continue using it. But if there is something, especially since this only affected women of a certain age group, only women, you know, if you could continue using it but say, hey, be extra careful with this particular segment of the population, why wouldn't you do that?
I don't know why. That's why I'm saying I disagree with the pause. They should continue it going. Here's my next question. What's more dangerous, Johnson & Johnson or COVID?
As of right now, obviously, but there are other alternatives right now. You have Pfizer and Moderna. So why continue with Johnson & Johnson when you're not for sure it's new enough that if there is a problem affecting a certain segment of population, why don't you make sure that that's not the cause?
Right. But right now, so far up to date, what is it, six?
That we know of.
That we know of.
Yeah. What did you tell me this morning?
You used my words right there. That was good. but right now, it's one in a million, right? It's six in six million. So the problem that I have in this is this pause, this delay might cause inactivity when it comes to people going to get vaccinated. And I am such on the side of, yes, I want there to be precautions there, but I want people to get vaccinated. And I unfortunately know that this is going to be a reason for some not to get vaccinated. And so I don't like the pause. I love the transparency. I don't like the pause.
I'm hoping with the pause and then kind of getting that reassurance that it will reduce the hesitancy in the future.
Let me disagree. Go ahead.
Let me disagree with you, Ursula, and see if we can actually come to some sort of agreement on this, because I disagree in that every vaccine dose of Johnson & Johnson that is not administered is potentially someone who could lose their life or have potentially negative outcomes personally. For example, if I had a shot scheduled for Johnson & Johnson today and I didn't get that and I ended up getting COVID, I would not be able to be with my wife in the hospital when she gives birth. But here's the thing. We just went into the doctor and they said, okay, you want to do this certain type of delivery. Here are the risks. So we're going to have you sign this informed consent that says, yes, I'm aware of the risks that are present with this type of delivery, and we choose to move forward anyways. Why would we not simply allow for people to sign a form that says, I understand there's a one in a million chance. I understand if I'm a woman of a certain age group that there's a larger percentage risk potentially for me. I'm choosing to get this anyways. We knew this was coming down the pike. Countries in Europe had paused vaccine use, AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson. Why could we not get this system in place to say, we've got the shots, we have the consent forms, and people that want to choose to take that risk and make that decision with their own body, they're allowed to do so instead of, you know, letting a public health crisis escalate because of that minimal risk.
See, I would agree with you if there weren't two other options that don't have the same effect. So I see nothing wrong with saying, and especially when Johnson & Johnson is not the vaccine that is most being used. It is the newest one of the three. And I think you would have a much bigger problem if a bunch of people suddenly ended up getting these blood clots, you know, issues, some of them life altering. And you can look back and say, well, there was a point when we only had six known cases and now we have 60,000.
Can I pull from the envelope?
Yes.
Sometimes you got some folks that tell you it's their body. It's their choice. They get to make that choice, number one. And number two, and here's another problem that I have with this. If there's a problem with Johnson & Johnson, then why'd y'all let this get out there in the first place?
But that's what they're finding out.
Hold on. There's going to be, I think we all know that there is a potential of risk in all of it, whether it's Pfizer, Moderna, and or Johnson & Johnson.
Yes, but the Pfizer and Moderna have not had the same problem that has affected a population that shouldn't have the effect that they've had. And Can I just point out that there are many drugs that we were told were very safe, and different little nets that you can put in your, you know, body parts, and this, that, and the other thing, and then they become subjects of class action lawsuits in the future. So I'm just saying, you can prevent a class action suit in the future. Use the ones that have, at least right now, a better record, even though, again, it's a very small number. And then maybe in a week from now, we're back to using J&J because it's fine.
Well, I'll end it with this, and I know we went too long. I'm going to take my chance with Johnson & Johnson, then COVID.
But you didn't, yeah. I absolutely agree with you, but neither you nor I had to take that vaccine. We got different ones.
Ursula, did you just drop a little reference to Johnson & Johnson baby powder?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way.
Because they had a huge class action lawsuit, by the way.
How many class action lawsuits did they have? Did we know that powder was an issue?
Can I just tell you? If my mom's probably listening right now.
Yeah, hello?
My mom kept saying,
no, I don't care what you say. I ain't taking that Johnson & Johnson. Mm-mm. You know that baby powder.
All right, G, you teased us. Let's pay it off. Our state agriculture officials, I can't recover here. Our state agriculture officials are warning folks that Asian giant hornets can be attracted to hummingbird feeders. So Ursula, should we cave to this campaign of fear and take down our hummingbird feeders? And should we even be feeding the wildlife in the first place?
Don't take down the hummingbird feeders, but this is a message to my neighbor. Can you stop feeding the rabbits? Because they've overtaken our neighborhood.
That's not the agree to disagree question. Answer the question, Ursula.
Yeah, well, I didn't. Should we in general be feeding the wildlife in our urban areas? No. Have you heard about bears, like, you know, attacking people in Newcastle and wherever else?
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Nobody's feeding the bears.
Did you just hit a fear? You reached in the envelope. You reached in the envelope and grabbed a, oh, okay, ooh, this will work. What about the bears eating the people in Newcastle? What? Ursula, admit it.
No, wait. No, this is true story. This is a true story. One of our former colleagues from Cairo Radio was attacked by a bear, and this is not funny. And not because he was feeding a bear, but people in the neighborhood been leaving their food out for bears to eat in the, you know, in the garbage cans. So, no, I'm not joking when I say if you feed wildlife, they are going to come back. Why? Because they want to continue getting fed.
Who's more of a threat, the bears or us? Or we humans?
Well, okay, if we're going to go back to that, let's go back to the systemic. What's the problem? We took over
minute.
Their environment.
And what about the lions and tigers? Oh, my.
I cannot believe this whole thing got sidetracked because Ursula reached into the envelope and grabbed one story about a bear attacking someone. And by the way,
people are going to text in. They're going to tell us, yes, because my neighbor feeds the wildlife, I've got an issue.
Keep us, feeding the wildlife. Yes.
Rabbits.
Keep your hummingbirds up there. The feeders up there. Yes. And by the way, if the Asian hornets show up to your bird feeder, call Cairo Radio and let's talk about it. And let's get the people out to your house and we can get rid of the problem. I'm all sidetracked. But coming up next, the AP says you should not use the word mistress. We're going to need your help on what words should be used instead. It's the G and Ursula Show.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show on Cairo Radio. This hour of our show is brought to you by Guardian Operations. So about an hour and a half ago, we talked about this and we got a lot of feedback, and the Associated Press is getting a lot of feedback and actually ridicule too, as it turns out, because they put out a guidance in the AP style book. And for anyone who doesn't know, the Associated Press has a style book that many news organizations use in terms of figuring out how to refer to certain things in certain ways and what is the proper usage. So in this case, they said, do not use the term mistress for a woman who is in a long-term sexual relationship with and is financially supported by a man who is married to someone else. Instead, you need to use an alternative like companion, friend, or lover on first reference and then provide additional details later. And, G, you said you've been getting a ton of feedback.
What? I mean, a lot of feedback. But in my opinion, Ursula, the feedback has really made me awake, right? Like, I didn't know. Up until today, I would have used mistress at any time. If I was to tell a news story, I'd be say, oh, in the news today, the man and his mistress were walking down the street. But why are we so degrading towards women? We give the woman that name. We don't give the man any name other than that's the man. And it's unfortunate that that's happened. And what I've learned in this process is, and of course, what the AP is suggesting is call that person a friend and or a companion. And then if you want to get into the details, that's fine. But you can't automatically give that person a negative label.
So I understand where AP is coming from, but the ridicule is from people saying, so what should you use? So they're saying friend. So someone else, you know, someone tweeted yesterday, well, would home wrecking floozy be okay? Or what about, well, let's see, there's another one. Someone actually brought up, should we embrace side piece? Which
no,
exactly.
No, we should not.
Thank
I think
you.
That's degrading.
Yes, exactly. No. So I think it is. If you stop and think about it, it's like it's putting the emphasis on the woman and what the woman is doing wrong versus the man. And you asked me how I've referred to it. It's like, you know, someone having an affair with, but that's much longer. How do you say it in one word? Here's my favorite feedback, but I don't look at the text line, so I know that you've gotten quite a bit. But here's actually my favorite response, and this is from one of your Facebook friends. It's Ken.
Oh, Ken, yeah.
Yeah, according to my wife, and I quote, you better have no idea what to call the other woman. I think that solves it right there.
And then another one texts in and says she would be the new woman. How about that?
Mm.
Yeah, that would. But again, it still falls on. Usually, the burden falls on the woman in this, and like I said, it could be companion, it can be partner, and let's be real. I mean, it takes two. So equally, the fault of this whole ordeal is equally on the man as much as it is the woman. So mistress to me. When you say mistress, or when I've said mistress in the past, I've put the responsibility or the accountability on the woman.
Yeah.
And that's what I got wrong. And that's why going forward, I will no longer use the name.
Yeah. But do you think friend is an accurate description? Or do you think?
Yes.
Lover
yes, I
would
do.
Be yes, but a friend.
Yes.
That's what your guilty husband would use as an excuse.
Whoa! Wait a minute now, Ursula. Hold on. Wait. Why isn't now again? Why isn't friend okay?
A friend with benefit. I mean, what?
Okay, then go into details. You can go into details after, but to call that person, hey, this is that man's friend. Hey, well, what kind of friend? Well, I'm glad you asked. We could get into that. I think friend is perfect. I think partner is perfect. I think companion is perfect.
But isn't your wife your companion as well, a friend as well?
Sure is. Right. Sure is.
Yeah.
Ursula, so, I mean, I think you point to exactly where this is coming from.
Yeah, the problem
isn't,
is...
Isn't this due to the rise of... Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. So, I mean, it is, well, I think the term is sexist for sure. And I think, so mistress is sexist. It is archaic. I agree with that part. But I don't know that AP provided better words. I don't think that
I think you were right. They didn't provide great words. But
what
this
words
is probably
want?
Coming from the rise. Well, look, if you have an open relationship, mistress is a value judgment that someone is cheating,
yes,
right?
Yes, I agree.
If someone has an open relationship, a friend, lover, or companion would be entirely accurate. And so I think what the AP is doing when they say also provide some context is saying, look, there are a lot more people that have open marriages and open relationships,
yes,
now. So to categorize someone as automatically being a cheater by being a mistress is an incorrect assumption to make without context.
Absolutely correct. But I still don't think the words, and I think there are going to be people who still refer to it as mistress. But what is the male equivalent? What is the male equivalent?
Thank you. Thank you. There is, other than
cheater,
he's a cheater, he's a liar.
Chef said player.
How smooth is that? Earlier this morning, you said philanderer.
Philanderer, right.
How smooth is that?
Yeah, Fink.
Or like Chef says, player. Like, let's be real.
How about we go old school with
what?
Oh, it's no, don't.
Lothario.
Oh, whoops.
But again,
this conversation
leans positive for the man and negative for the woman, and you cannot take me off that square. I'm 100% agreeing and now understanding. And by the way, I'm having this revelation because I can't believe I've never thought about it myself. Mm-hmm. That how negative that this is towards the woman, and yet the only thing you'll get out of the husband is he's a cheater. Oh, okay. Well, obviously, but that's it. When you hear stories or a movie or a TV show, there's always something said about the mistress. But like you said, Ursula, there is really no name for the man.
If you guys can come up with a better way to describe it versus mistress, or you can tell us, do you even have an issue with it? Text us at 98973.
This is not easy. This topic gets, well, I don't know. It's easy to me.
Yeah.
It's easy to me.
I'm okay. I've never really used the word mistress.
I have. A lot. Well, not like that. I don't want you guys going off my track record of being married and then... Now the conversation's getting awkward.
Let me
mess myself up before I get behind more. Coming up next, your text, your feedback, and then Ursula's words to live by. It's Jen Ursula. Happy Wednesday, y'all. It is the G and Ursula Show. It is now time for your text, feedback, and then Ursula's words to live by. Ursula?
Oh, so many people weighing in on the term mistress and whether we should stop using it, according to AP Style Book. 206 says, I call my husband's mistress the nice lady that gave me half of his money. Oh, did I forget to say ex-husband?
Oh, boy. So here's all the terms. 206 says, for the man, how about mistress? Mister-is.
I got another one saying the same thing. That's really clever. How about co-adulterer or adulterer and adulteress?
Oh. 206, how about homewrecker?
Extramarital partner, sugar baby. Cheater equals one who cheats, so no judgment there, just the facts.
What about the medical professionals who kill people? 970 says, my wife and I are both doctors, and we discussed the analogy of police accidentally killing people and medical professionals accidentally killing patients. If we somehow subverted, missed, or ignored all the mechanisms in place and a patient died because of it, you would definitely be fired, and you could expect to be charged with criminal negligence.
Thank you for that answer. Are we being too cautious pulling the J&J vaccine? Ann and Kent says, I agree with you both. And this J&J issue just fuels the fire because of the baby powder lawsuits. They all have risks. Your choice. But at 62, I'm with G's mama. I'll stick with the other two.
206. Oh, this is serious. 206 says, my sister got sick in March of 2020. She's had two strokes and still experiencing lots of long hauler problems. Please, people, get your shots however you can.
Should the boss fall on the sword, so to speak, when employees do wrong? 425 says, maybe they should, but in Jay Inslee's case, we had that chance to hold him accountable, but then we re-elected him.
So we could either choose Inslee or Culp. 360 says, I recently got my professional mariner's license or a marriage license? Marriage license. And this was actually on the test. In a situation like the ship stuck in the Suez Canal, whose fault is it? The pilot who was driving the ship or the captain? Answer, the captain. The captain is always responsible for their crew's actions.
Mariner's license, as in that seafarer.
Oh, okay. I got it. Okay,
should
got
you
it.
Feed mariners. The wildlife? 425 says, my neighbors have two large bird feeders in a tree near a six-foot fence, and they get angry with me because my cat sits on the fence to wait for an opportunity to have lunch.
425 says, humans have taken away the wildlife's habitat. We owe them to live side by side with some help. Hey, amen, 425.
253 says, my wife feeds the hummingbirds. Now they get extremely aggressive if she doesn't keep it full. Just this morning, two of them were following her.
509 says, Ursula, rabbit traps are cheap.
I can't do it. I just can't do it. Okay, more students getting college rejections. 253 says, yes, community college and vocational schools, there are so many benefits, including smaller class sizes. Often instructors at community college are there because they want to teach and are very student-oriented. Disclosure, I do work at a community college.
Nick in Tacoma says, gee, yes to trade schools. They're great options that lead to good-paying careers. We should be allowing kids to use their second 2 years of high school to attend trade schools and help launch their careers of college if there's no interest. No, you can't let them do that in high school because then that would be too many people being successful. Yeah, that was good. I like that.
The killing of Dante Wright, 206 says, OMG, you guys. Gee, why can't they be right and go home? I'm white. I'm not sure what that meant.
Yeah. Let's get to the mic drop text of the day, Ursula.
And this is on the topic of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine pause and whether we're being too cautious, from the 206. I find it interesting that the men on the show want to charge ahead with J&J, knowing only women are affected by the blood clotting issue. Thanks for the support, gentlemen. And I do use that term loosely, but the AP hasn't provided an alternative, bro.
All right.
Our listeners are way too clever.
They are clever. Let's get to Ursula's Words to Live By, brought to you by ProClub.
And you know what? We were honest and we said that we disagreed before the show, and we started the show kind of in a bit of a tiff. And I just want to remind everybody, when you agree to disagree, you honor the relationship above trying to change that person. I don't have to agree with you to love and respect you. And I do love and respect you, G.
Appreciate you, buddy. Same. What about the bears eating the people in Newcastle? What?
Lions and tigers. Bears.
Oh, my.
And murder hornets.
I need Ursula to admit that she was in that story. That was awesome.
Okay, maybe the bears were just eating out of trash cans. People weren't going out and feeding their bears.
Thank you, Andrew. We do this again tomorrow. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. Be good.